Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 3rd, 2022. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are reading on page 157, the fifth paragraph. Today's readers are Shelley E., Stephanie L., and Laura R. The reference number share ID for Sunday's special edition on January 2nd is 18,342. And the share ID for Monday, January 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Meeting is 18,347. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tom L. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tom L. from Anaheim, compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics or compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Tom L., and I will now ask Lorraine M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Lorraine N., compulsive eater in Oregon. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to read. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine. And how our meeting works, our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 157, the fifth paragraph, reading one paragraph only, and I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 157. The man in the bed was told of the acute poisoning from which he suffered, how it deteriorates the body of an alcoholic and warps his mind. There was much talk about the mental state preceding the first drink. And I had to look above to the paragraph above. That's me. That's me. I drink like that. And it reminded me of my first OA meeting. I really didn't know what OA was about. I really didn't know much about addiction, even though I had 3 children in program. I didn't know I was an addict. But when I read the doctor's opinion and I realized that I had been, I'd tried everything except for a surgery, and I had my willpower had escaped me, and I thought it was just a real failing of myself. I really didn't know, but once I found out, I was here to stay. When it goes to how it deteriorates the body of an alcoholic, I certainly am one having lost, I've lost 135 pounds, but boy, did it deteriorate my body. I have 2 new knees, I've lost a gallbladder. I'm grateful to say that most of the things that it did do to my body, I've been able to repair. And then when I recognized the warping of the mind, I thought about the acute poisoning. My husband, when I met him, I was 20, and he didn't eat chocolate. And because at 6 years old, he got sick off chocolate. And I thought, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know, having had chocolate for 14 years because you got sick off at one time, I couldn't even imagine that. And still, he has another food item now. He got sick a couple of months ago, and he'll probably never eat it again. And that would never have occurred to me. I could have gotten sick the night before, and I would have been back in it the next day. There were just certain items that one bite was too many, and 100 was never enough. I went back to page 34 in the Big Book, and I thought, we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism, and that is where I was when I first entered the rooms. And still, I have to remember, my disease talks to me as a friend. It wants me to cuddle up to it. It wants me to listen to it. And so it's very important that I don't give it a voice, but I give my higher power the voice in my day. I have to ask myself as I pause during the day, am I headed toward the food or am I headed toward God? Gratefully, at this point in my recovery, I'm headed toward God, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of love from my fellows. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Shelley E., for getting us started this morning. And before I take a lineup, I would like to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared Thursday and Friday, we ask that you hold off. Okay, so let me go ahead and take some names. Go ahead.
Melanie C.
Linda B.
Elaine G.
Sherry Z.
Jody E.
Elaine G.
Okay, I'll tell you who I have so far. I have Melanie C., Linda B., Elaine G., Sherry Z., Jody E. Was there anyone else that wanted to add for this lineup? Okay, let's go ahead and begin with Melanie C. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Sherry. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Dark, Oregon this morning. You know, I was listening to this being read today, and I read it before the meeting, and it just really made an impact for me. I've had this burden on my heart that when I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous, the conversation was all about the food. It was just all about the food, and in my case, I interpreted that as was the cause of all of my obesity. I couldn't think through or see through anything else. And they were going to help me get this food thing down so that then I would be fine. I was so brain dead about what was to come and what the real disease was. And I don't think that I heard anything about the ism. I'm an alcoholic, compulsive overeater with alcoholism. Ism is what I suffer from. And what they're talking about here is the idea to share with my sponsee and myself that there's an acute poisoning that happens within the body. So there's a physiological happens that doesn't happen to the average person. And to get that peace in mind, it's not about diet, it's not about a food plan, it's about what specific key ingredients go into my body that cause this poisoning that absolutely grabs my brain and poisons my thinking, poisons my mind. And from that point forward, when I was in my single digits, my whole world was warped by that thinking. It affected every single thing that I did from that point forward. And that I was mindlessly trying to treat a disability of this magnitude with food. And I didn't even know that I was doing that. I picked up something very early on. It gave me that sense of awe. And I'd like Pavlov's dog just decided to continue there. And I had no connection between that and what was really happening. I had a disability. I had a diagnosable illness that I had no idea was going on inside my body. And so when I was told eventually of the acute poisoning that I was suffering from and that it absolutely warped my mind to such a way that it would drive me back to thinking that my most current thought was the most logical thing to do in any situation that I was in, whether it be pick up and gorge on food like a slob that I was, or a decision I was making about an idea and a place I was going in my life, all of it was warped. And the book then started telling me, once that thing that I was getting that sense of ease and comfort from was out of the way, then there was enough space to be able to start looking at and now understanding the disability in a way that needed the treatment and the proper treatment, at least for me, that was going to happen to bring me the life that I have now, which is utter freedom and neutrality. And I'll pass with that.
Oh, perfect timing. Thanks so much, Melanie. Okay, Linda B. is up next. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you. This is Linda B. from Ontario, Canada. Yes, there was much talk about the mental state preceding the first drink or bite. So true that my mind is warped. It doesn't see things truly. It's the thinking, the lies I tell myself. I'm in two programs. When I was working the first one and did my first step 4 and 5, I remember saying to my sponsor at the time, so I really only need to talk about the things I did while I was overeating or drinking at the time. And she goes, no, it's even before you started drinking, because you have those self-centered isms, and you need to make amends and look at those and why you behave the way you did. So, but you can't even see those things. You can't even identify what those things are until you put the substance down and have some clarity. And working, and I have found today, what I've learned most recently is doing the step 10, and I can just see where it's usually the bottom line is the thinking around it, and that's not even after taking a bite of food. That's working the steps, but I shouldn't say that because I did relapse just before Christmas, so maybe some of my thinking did have something to do with the food that I was eating at that particular time. But when the food is gone, I can have that clarity, and I can ask that question that it's been suggested I ask, is how can I see this situation the way my higher power sees it? And that kind of just changes my perception on the situation and my part in it and what I'm doing wrong and what I need to be doing at that point in time. And also I was reading Acceptance Was the Answer yesterday, and it's the internal environment that I need to be aware of and keep peaceful and calm. And when I can do that, the external environment takes care of itself. And I really have a thinking problem. It's my thinking that gets me into trouble all the time. And that's where the conscious contact with my higher power comes in. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Linda B. Elaine G. is up next.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elaine from New York. I share this paragraph. Having to do with the food versus this guy talking about alcohol, I was eating, and even in program when I wasn't abstinent, which, last night I ate in the middle of the night, so I guess I'm not abstinent, but I'm eating foods that I know that are not good for me. And then also when my dad died, I compulsively ate to kill the pain, saying that, oh, my God, what am I going to do without my dad? And so for many months, I compulsively overate. For many months, I had a stomachache. I mean, I ate and ate and ate and ate. And it wasn't until about a year later that I start mourning my dad. Did it do anything? I don't know. I don't know if it did anything. I don't think so. But I thought it was going to do, help. But it didn't. And all I did was eat and cry, eat and cry, eat and cry. Having to do with this paragraph, I felt like nothing was going to fix me. Nothing was going to fix that my dad died. I mean, like, having to do with before my dad died, the night before, I asked God, could you please take away his pain? But I didn't ask for him to die in his sleep. But anyway, I keep on saying that. But anyway, right now I'm facing my friend being in the hospital. I'm very emotional over it. She's 94 years old, and I'm reaching out. I'm reaching out to people. My sponsor, God bless her, a brand new sponsor, and she's like a little angel, really. We're going through the big book. I'm reading it, sharing on it. It's like a big book study, just like this. And she's helping me so much, more than she knows. And the fellowship and writing, God Box, meetings, just everything to try to help me. I'm still in pain, emotional pain, from my friend being in a terrible hospital, which I was in, and I saw myself out of them in three days, when my friend's not eating or drinking, and I feel beside myself. You know, but there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do about it. You can't visit, you know. And
that's time.
Time's up? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Elaine. Next up is Sherry.
Hi, I'm Sherry Z from Los Angeles, recovering, getting recovered in this program. I'm on step 9. And thank you, Sherry, for your service. I really appreciate you every day. There was so much talk about the mental state. So I used to sit, people would say to me, you must be a foodie because you binge. And I was so not into the food. There's very few foods that I even liked. I'm allergic to so many. But I would binge them, and the mental state, I would binge foods that I was allergic to. Like, that's insanity. And knowing that I would possibly have to take an EpiPen, and knowing that it was a mental illness. It was a mental illness. And I just looked up WARPS, and it says become or cause to become bent or twisted out of shape. Like, my mind was and is twisted out of shape when it comes to food and everything. And, you know, for a lot of years in these programs, we talked about the food, but it was never for me about the food. I could have cared less about what to, you know, eat. I actually like very simple, plain foods. I'm not a foodie. But once that twist of the mind, that mental state took hold, it was like it deteriorated and it just became insane. And by the grace of God today, you know, I just went on 2 weeks vacation with my family, and I just was able not to have to make a resolution on January 1. And I wasn't have to make a resolution each day. I was just about, how do I treat the mental illness? And I treat it with the big book and these steps. And that actually, like, calms the mind. And it's shocking to me, because once those trigger foods were removed, the mental state was what needs to be addressed. And the mental state is the resentment, the anger, so this, so that. And for today, by the grace of God, I have a program that last night I wanted to, like, strangle my boss, and I have the steps and the ability to work through this morning that I just want to be of service today, because he's sick like me. He is sick like me. That's the key part, like me. So I'm just really grateful to this program, for every one of you that shows up every day and works it, and so grateful to be here. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Sherry. And before I take Jody E., for anyone who may have joined us late, I just want to let everyone know where we are today. We are reading from the Big Book, page 157, the fifth paragraph, The Man in the Bed. We read that one paragraph only. So after Jody E., I will take more names. Go ahead, Jody.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered today in Monterey, California. So the man in the bed was told of the acute poisoning from which he suffered. Oh, gosh, my last relapse, the withdrawal, it was very obvious that I had poisoned myself. I was sick. I felt terribly sick, because I had been eating my alcoholic foods compulsively. I just let myself go. And that was very apparent that I had poisoned myself. The mental state preceding the first drink or bite. Why did I pick up that first bite? I believe today it was because I had let myself become disconnected, both from people and from my higher power. It seems to me that this is a disease of isolation. and that my recovery depends on my connection with other compulsive eaters and with God. So I am, that mental state will come again if I do not stay in fit spiritual condition by working these 12 steps. And working these 12 steps requires connection with other compulsive overeaters. I admit to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. I make a list of people I have harmed, and I go to them, and I connect with them, and I express my regret, my remorse, and hopefully my love. I stay in fit spiritual condition by praying and meditating, and I use the tools of the telephone and meetings to stay in connection with all of you. So that mental state will come again for me, I know it, if I do not keep in fit spiritual connection by giving of myself through service and self-sacrifice for others, and by simply becoming available to help others, giving of my time, giving of my experience, strength, and hope. And that's what I hope that I've done this morning, and I appreciate all of you who are doing the same for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Jody. Okay, before I take more names, I just want to remind anybody who may not have heard this that we value your experience, and we also ask that you limit your share to every third day on all vision calls so that we can have others share their experience too. So who would like to share?
Anne in Southern California.
Deborah G.
Sheila. And Sheila B. in Florida.
Okay, I have Anne, Deborah G. and Sheila B. Who else?
Sarah H.M.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your name.
Cassidy Scarborough, or Cassidy S.
Cassidy S, I think. Okay, I have Anne, Deborah, Sheila, I think you said Cassidy. My hearing may not be good right now. And is there anyone else that wants to be added to this lineup?
Sherry H.M. T.
Okay, I heard Sherry H.M. and then there was one other. Maybe not. Okay, could you spell that, please? I'm not able to understand.
E-V-E, like Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
Okay, and C is my last initial.
Oh, thank you so much. That's wonderful. And everyone, you can let us know where you're from. So let's go ahead and start with this lineup. Go ahead, Anne.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody on the call. My name is Anne M. in Southern California. And I just, this reading today was designed for me when it talked about, I'm going to repeat it. The man in the bed was told of the acute poisoning from which he suffered, how it deteriorates the body of an alcoholic and warps his mind. Like, that's me right now, 100%, more than 30 years of experience in and out of OA. I'm in 5 programs, and a couple years ago I was calling myself recovered in vision, and I'd lost a lot of weight and I've gained a lot of it back. And just yesterday I called somebody who was among the many awesome people in this program who called me when I identified as a newcomer. And we're going to start going through the steps starting tomorrow. And the first, you know, direction I've been given is to write down my alcoholic foods. And I feel like right now, almost everything that I eat feels alcoholic. And I'm in so much physical pain. I possibly have maybe a leaky gut situation. Like, I can barely walk. Like, I have a plantar, I'm an athlete, and my working out to support my sport and the support itself combined with my eating disorder, I'm just in I'm in a torment. Like, I can barely sleep at night, I can barely walk. Like, it's just, And of course, it's my head, my brain's as inflamed as my body. Like, this is just a total description of who I am. And I feel a lot of fear about getting started on this, but I also feel like it really is like the only hope is to move forward through this and write down these alcoholic foods and trust my higher power. It's wild how much recovery I'm having in my other programs. And yet how, as I grew in those programs, I've fallen back into the food, and now I feel like everything's at risk for real. So I'm really glad to be here. There is no place when it comes to eating recovery that I relate to the way I do. This meeting, one of the kind of crazy making things is one of the foods I'm probably going to have to give up is something that my closest friend who's in program makes and sells for a living, and I totally support her in that, and I don't think I can have those things. And she's abstinent 30 years, but absent for her is not abstinent for me. And that's just really challenging. I feel like I'm going to just become some freak who can eat four things. And if that is the case and that's what's required for my sanity, then so be it. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Anne. Deborah G., you're up next.
Hi, this is Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much for chairing the meeting and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And yes, I look at my alcoholic foods as poison because they do poison my mind mentally and crazy. Like insane, the thoughts that come, and then the obsessiveness, and just so caught up in all of that that I'm not really living, and then not sleeping good. My mind's going, I can't sleep good, and easily angered, irritated all the time, restless, irritable, discontent, you know, all that suffering going on. And my body, I remember I felt itchy. My body was actually itchy. And it was just awful what it does. I think about it now and I'm just so grateful for the freedom from that. And how that mental twist, there was much talk about the mental state preceding the first drink. When I think about that, at times, I couldn't even tell you what was going on. You know, I just was automatically in the food with no thought about it. I can't even think. And that was that mental twist. And it's scary. It's scary. And I'm so grateful that there's these beautiful 12 steps as a way of living so that I don't have to go back to living like that again. And it treats me, you know, because it's not, I put those things in my body and affects my mind and body, but I really need to treat all that stuff within myself so that I don't go to that. That's just but a symptom. So if I can live this way of life with those beautiful 12 steps and stay connected, my power is God. Stay connected to God. My sponsor reminds me, stay connected. Oh, that there's hope there. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Sheila B., you're up next.
Hey, good morning. This is Sheila B. in Florida. And it really is good to be on this call and to be heard. That last sentence of this paragraph, there was much to talk about the mental state preceding the first drink. And that's what I want to talk about. I was away over the holidays and, these past 3 days, yesterday and the 2 days prior to, over 2 months at least, 2.5 months, well, definitely two, I don't remember exact, of abstaining from compulsive behavior, and abstinent alcoholic behavior, and abstaining from alcoholic foods. These past 3 days, I did find myself engaging in alcoholic behavior again, and for me, that's eating, even if it's just a little more, eating more food than my portion need, and it just went on into a little bit more. When I look at my mental state preceding the word that comes to mind, as shared earlier, is about the isolation. I'm finding the one thing I believe that God wants to give me to help me is the one thing I really avoid and really don't like, and that's the telephone. I was away on vacation, and there were times I really struggled. I needed to have, I really did need to connect with someone else to help me process how to do my meals based on where I was at. But I didn't pick up the phone. I just, you know, tried to figure it out on myself. And then while I was gone, I was sick. I got sick and wasn't sure what to do. Was this a cold? Should I get, you know, I didn't know. And so I'm away, I'm not feeling well, and I'm still not reaching out to get help from someone else to help me navigate. How do I do my food? Not just how do I do my food, but even, you know, even in the honesty, how do I tell my family I'm not feeling well? And what ended up happening, I actually did have COVID. There were several family members who was around. I was around that day, tested positive, and I didn't know. I didn't reach out to how to get through that. And, I dealt with it as best I could. And then it just a break, just, and this has been my pattern. After a while, a break just comes. And it's
time.
Thank you. But these were the things that the mental state that preceded that first bite. Sheila, Florida, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Sheila. Cassidy, you're up next.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this fellowship and community, and I thank you guys for your service today and for all the sharing. It has been so perfect for me to hear today because it's exactly where I am. I've heard some of the thoughts in my head expressed by my fellows who are experiencing the same thing, so it's so encouraging to me today. And I am Chastity S., and I am from Arkansas. During the reading today, it struck me because I was fairly new to the community. Last year, I began my journey with OA and with my higher power in this. And after only 100 plus, just over 100 days of sobriety and abstinence, I was so full of pride, and I look back now, I couldn't understand the folks that had relapsed. I couldn't understand relapse because I was just so encouraged in the community and in the fellowship, and I was so just in love with this program, and it was, you know, I was seeing all of the promises fulfilled in my life, and I had recovered, and I was sponsoring, And then my higher power really humbled me because I found that this warping of the mind, this acute poisoning, it's something that is there even after I've recovered. It's always insidiously lingering there and waiting to manifest. And so after only 100 plus days, I began to lose my faithfulness to attend meetings and to listen to the podcasts and to keep my mind engaged in good things that kept me focused on everything that I had learned through the big book and from, you know, the guidance of my sponsor. And I would begin to kind of flip my nightly inventory. I'd miss a day here or there. And eventually that kind of became a resentment that I had to do an inventory at night because it was never different. I was always having good days. So why am I having to do inventory every day? And then I, you know, I'd started calling my sponsor. We were talking weekly and I would miss phone calls with her. And, which is so in my mind, looking back now, it's just so disrespectful to her and her time. But I did do that. And it's like, Okay. Anyways, I'm so thankful for this fellowship and for the ability to re-engage. And I have such respect for everyone who has fallen and gotten back up and continues in this program, even though there's hard days and there's restarts. And I'm so thankful for you guys.
Thank you so much, Chastity. And Sherry H.M. is up next.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Mount Vernon, Washington. Gratefully recovered and so grateful for all of you. I just love this paragraph because it talks about really the crux of the problem is the buildup of emotions in the heart. Saying there was much talk about the mental state preceding the first drink, and that speaks to the buildup of emotions, even if I can't name or see what they really are in that moment. That's what makes me a refrigerator magnet. You know, that's what puts me into the sugar. So I have to sanitize my heart. I've been sanitizing my hands for so long now, I almost wore the fingerprints off of them. So sanitize my heart every day from the resentment, fear, dishonesty, self-seeking, shame, whatever it is, because that is really the problem. It's not so much the other things, but I have to really get in touch with that. And God helps me. You guys help me. Of course, the big book and all these meetings help me. And so, yeah, so grateful to be here. It's Sherry with a C, Sherry H.M., and thank you. And thanks for your service. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, thanks, Sherry. Eve is up next.
Hi, I'm Eve C. from Saratoga Springs, New York, and I'm new to this meeting. It was suggested that I dial in. I am bulimic, so I don't know if I fit into this group or not, but I do, I overeat, and then in order not to have all that food inside me, I binge. It's been 4 days since I have. I am part of another 12-step program and working steps. And from listening to people on this call, I realize that I do binge, and I do it knowing that I can get rid of it later. And so I feel very part of this group. I haven't heard anybody speak of bulimia, but I am getting a lot so far from what people have said, and I just think I should stick around and hear more. So thank you for hearing me, and I hope everybody has a good day.
Thank you so much, Eve. We're so glad you're here. And if you stick around to the end of the meeting, you could leave your name and number, and I'm sure you're going to get lots of outreach. And, yeah, we welcome you. So we have time for, it looks like, another share. Who would like to share next?
Freya H.
Okay, go ahead, Freya.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry. My name is Freya H. I am a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic, and I'm in Colorado. And just the last few shares really inspired me to want to speak up. So thank you, God, for the opportunity. That message that this disease never goes away, you know, that those neural pathways that were laid down, that were connecting, you know, my emotional state to using food to cope, are never going to go away, and that I get to accept that. And that in this program, the solution that I have is to diligently, by daily practice, lay down new neural pathways that bring me to my fellows and to my higher power through working the steps. And I, this past few days, my town suffered some really severe tragedies. A lot of people lost their homes, and I did not lose my home, but I am still part of the community and facing that, all the destruction. And it's so interesting how after, you know, many years of neutrality with food, the feelings came up and I wanted to get rid of my food, or I just didn't have an appetite. And the beauty is I stick to my food plan, and that I take the emotions to my higher power and right into the steps, and did a lot of inventory and reached out to my fellows. But I was just kind of amazed, actually, like, wow, that stuff is still there. You know, like that little voice that says getting rid of your food will be a solution, it's still there. And I actually see it as like, this is God giving me an opportunity to excavate some more old beliefs that are there about, you know, just about the nature of life. And that even when things look really bad on the outside, there is a bigger picture that I just can't see, and I trust my higher power can't see it. So I'm so grateful to live this life of recovery where I have a shot of being of service to others. So I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Freya. It looks like we have time for like a 1-minute share. Is there someone who wants to give a quick share before we close out today? Okay, I think I'll go ahead and close the meeting. Go ahead.
Hi, I'll share. My name is Emily. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic, and I'll just time myself 1 minute. I just wanted to say welcome to the newcomer, and I remember coming to my first meeting in 2002, and I used to purge my food 15, 20 times a day, and I had, you know, was vomiting blood and having heart arrhythmias, and I came to the meeting, and I heard someone say they hadn't vomited in 4 years, and she eventually became my sponsor. And so I don't have to binge and purge my food every day. I haven't had to do that in many, many, many years. And so just wanted to say welcome, and that there's recovery here for bulimics as well. And as well as for people who have 100 pounds to lose, or, you know, 50 or 20 pounds to gain, same solution, regardless of what your eating disorder is. And that's it. Thanks.
Thanks so much for closing us out today and for sharing. And thank you to everybody. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read a vision for you?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater here in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.